First of all, I'd like to thank the tremendous hospitality that Melinda and I have received at your gracious hands, Marvin, Glenda, and I guess I need to mention Glenn.
No.
Oh, there it is. We've thoroughly enjoyed our visit, and I get this is just icing on the cake, except for I gotta stand up here and say something. I have a wonderful message. That last hymn says, my desire for us this morning, that we would hear what he's got to say. Whoever's speaking the gospel, if the gospel's preached, let us listen. May he give us ears to hear and desire to obey. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10. We're going to see another visitation from our Lord to his precious people. We're going to look at the two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary. And we're going to start in chapter 10, in verses 38 through the end of the chapter. Let me read this to you. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he, that is Christ, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I really want to look at Mary, but in order to get to Mary, we need to talk about Martha a little bit. And let's not be mistaken. The Lord loved Martha. Okay, because what we're going to see here in a little bit is astonishing, shocking, but it's the old flesh that rears its ugly head. And the Scriptures, they don't hide that. In the best of believers, the Scriptures do not hide what we are, and we own up to that. But I want to make no mistake here, she worshipped Christ. She was called by His rich grace. And you remember when her brother Lazarus had died, Mary stayed in the house, and Martha was the first one to run out to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's make no mistake. Martha loved her Lord, and the Lord loved her. Yet, in Martha, we see much of ourselves in her. As the Scripture says, sin is still present in the believer. Look at what it says in verse 40. Martha was cumbered. That word is she was distracted. Now, in this world, and especially religious world of activity, doing things, there needs to be less activity. We do too much. The word is distracted, and how easily we fall into such distractions as well. Did not Martha receive Christ into her house? Was she not preparing a meal for the Lord Jesus Christ? What she was doing was commendable. But when she, a religious or irreligious, or non-religious, she allowed these things to distract her. Was cumbered about with much serving. She's serving the Lord, yes. But look at the next few lines. This is me in a nutshell. Lord, do you not care? Stop right there. Stop right there. Does that sentence even look right? Lord, do you not care for me? It's amazing. We to whom the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, could say such a thing. We to whom the Lord has spoken, are you not much more than a sparrow? Could think such things. And yet, when we complain, when we murmur about so many things, we are saying to our beloved brother, our darling Redeemer, our compassionate friend, do you not care? I ask for myself that the Lord would bring me, would bring us low in repentance for such wayward thoughts, to question our Lord's care for us when He has done so much for us. It's amazing. But oh, sin will rear its ugly head whenever it can. Look at the next thing she says. Her sister has a name, doesn't she? It's Mary. And you would think that she would go to Mary and say, come on. But she goes to the Lord and says, that woman, my sister, she's got a name, fellow believers in the grace of God. Now she's telling the Lord what to do. Bid her. I don't know if it was Gill, but one of the writers of old, he said, Mary came and sat. Martha came as one, she came standing as one that was one instructing, ordering about, and then she was still standing. She came as one standing, speaking, and then was intending to leave. Not listening, but telling her complaint. So how do we deal with such things? Just like our Lord did. And He says, Martha, Martha, can you not hear the love in that exchange? The compassion, the forbearance, the tenderness, the gentleness. Oh Lord, teach us to address the saints of God with such long suffering and tenderness. Because, and I've been struggling with this very thing where I work, it's just like I get, you know, you wake up and you just think, well, you know, what's the day going to bring? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad in our own sense of speaking? And then I have to step back and say, He cares. He cares. He cares for His sheep. And then when somebody else flies off, then I'm quick, get back in line or try to... No. Martha, Martha. Let us learn from our Master to deal with one another, because really, this is all we got. This is all the believers got. We just have one another. And they may be thousands of miles away. They may be 12 hours away. They may be right next door. But the believer, the household of faith, this is all we really have. Let us not take His grace for granted. Your former pastor taught me many things, and I loved him dearly, and I'm loving this one, this pastor, your pastor, more and more. And I remember Donnie Bell telling me when there were some things going on, he said, don't ever burn any bridges. And if you're going to stop talking to me, it's going to be you. I'm going to assume the low road. By God's grace, God helping me, I'm going to assume the low road. And let us walk together and see our Lord magnified among sinners. Well, I really wanted to get through that to get to Mary. But Christ says, she has chosen that one thing needful. What was this? Well, first of all, I don't want to be found not doing this. I want to be found doing what Mary did. I want to be found seeking and adoring Christ, and I don't want to miss Him. I told Marvin when he came down to Cape Girardeau, to Jackson, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that passage scares me to death. That I could be preaching to others and be a castaway. I myself, preaching and then not being found in His righteousness. That scares me to death. I ask the Lord to keep me, to keep you, to know our hearts. The believer is not afraid. Lord, search me and try me. Here I am. See if there be any way, wicked way in me. I do not want to miss Christ. We're gathered together to hear of Him. We don't want to miss Him. And if I don't say anything very well, that was you heard the gospel already this morning. But let's look at what He said to Mary. And this is what I want to do. And this is what I want for you. I want to, as we talked about before we came up here, comfort ye, my people. And I pray that there would be some comfort in here. And God would be honored among us. The first thing it says is that in verse 39, she sat at Jesus' feet. Well, to me, this shows that she's in total subjection to Him and His Word. Total subjection. Total subjection to His rights over her. To His lordship and utter control over her life. Owning to the fact that He is high and that she is low. It's almost as though she's saying, Lord, do with me as you see fit. There's a true story. Sovereign Grace preacher, you know who this gentleman is. I'm not going to mention any names. But he was out hunting one morning, and he came across a dog that had been captive in a coyote trap. And he felt sorry for the dog, so he was going to try to release it. Well, it was snapping at him. The nature was snapping. And he's like, well, so he got, he said, well, he was going to walk away. He thought, no, I need to free the dog. He got a stick and he jammed it under the dog's jaw, so he neck and couldn't move. And he released the lever and set the dog free. Picked up his gun and he went back hunting. Well, a couple hours later, he thought he heard something. He turned around. There's that old dog. Just kind of following him from a distance. So he finished his hunting, went home. Dog's a little closer. Apparently he fed the dog, kept the dog. It was his faithful companion until that dog finally died years later. Mary saw what she was, realized what the blessed Redeemer had done for her, and she followed Him for the rest of His life. It's just simple. Salvation is all of grace. Salvation has a work. And His people hear His voice. They sit at His feet. They hear His word. And they follow Him. Now, we get into details of each and every one of our lives. How to follow? You simply follow Christ. You follow Christ. We won't turn there, but in Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to turn there real quick. Matthew chapter 15, and verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But Christ answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought her to send her away. She cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came again and worshipped him. Now we're going to look at that word worship, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. She said, I'm a dog. I am a dog. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now that word worship. I don't know Greek, Hebrew, but I've got tools that tell me what things are. That word worship. And in most places in the New Testament, it means to lick or kiss the hand like a dog. Isn't that right? This is why we were created. To worship our glorious God in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, to do so. And if we're taught of God to see ourselves as we are revealed in this book, and to see Him suffering, bleeding, and dying for us, we will indeed prostrate ourselves gladly. Worship. Licking. Kissing the hand of the Master. Well, the second thing that she says, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Here's the living word. Speaking to her from the written word, the gospel, the good news. We used to say the three R's back in the day. Ruined by the fall, redemption by the blood, and regeneration by the Spirit. What did he say? I don't think we really have to guess here. He spoke of those things that were written of him in the book of Moses and the prophets and the law. Because they didn't have the New Testament. So his Old Testament references. I can only speculate to some extent what he said. But I know that she was sitting at his feet in total subjection, owning herself as what she was before a thrice holy God, and heard his word. He says, the scriptures are they which testify of me, he said. Lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me. He may have spoken about the ark. I'm that ark. Those who are inside the ark are safe. Those who are on the other side are experiencing the wrath of God. He may have brought her to Jacob's ladder. He said, I am that ladder. By me, through me, upon me is the only way to heaven's gate, to glory. He probably said, I'm that everlasting covenant our brother spoke about when he spoke to David. I am that everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. That was David's only hope, only desire, and only salvation. And she just sat there and listened. To beautiful illustrations. Listen to truth. He may have mentioned that he was that near kinsman redeemer, and the one who had the right to redeem, and he chose to redeem. He chose that right. And he redeemed a number which no man can number as the sand of the sea. He may have told her, he said, I'm that one who stood firm with Adrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace. And therefore they came out unscathed. Unscathed. Sin weighs heavy on the believer. But rest assured, brethren, we will cross over Jordan. We'll make it. We surely will. Because our Redeemer is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He may have told her that I'm the one that freed Daniel from the lion's den. But I know, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And because our Redeemer first loved her, she loved Him and believed these things that she heard. She knew that in Christ she had all things. I love this passage in Genesis chapter 33. Turn there with me. Let's take a peek here. Genesis chapter 33. We have two brothers, not two sisters. We have two brothers this time. Esau and Jacob. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and to Rachel, and unto two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near his brother. He was kind of afraid. He didn't know what was going to go on. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the woman and the children and said, Whose are those with thee? And he said, The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, and they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, What meanest thou by all this drove which I met, says Esau? And he said, These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, verse 9, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Now look at verse 11. Take, I pray thee, my blessings, that it is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me. That's what Mary knew. God had dealt graciously with me. But look on, read on. And because I have enough, he urged him to take it. Now verse 9 says, Esau said, I have enough. And in your English, this translation in verse 11, Jacob says, I have enough. They're saying the same thing. No, they're not. The words are different. Esau, he said, I have abundance. And isn't that what the people of the world say? I got enough. I'm doing fine. I may not have as much as this neighbor, but I got more than this neighbor. And that's where we get into problems. We start comparing ourselves one to another, and that's not the guess. Our standard is the righteousness, the holiness of God Himself. And unless we got that, we've got nothing. We'll be found wanting. But do you know what that word is? That word enough, it's just, it looks like they're saying the same thing. If Marvin walks down the street And then the pastor of this meat church, I think is what it was called. What a wonderful name. If they walked side by side, I can't. It looked like the same, you know, friendly, nice, whatever. But the believer understands. He's been taught by the gospel. He's been taught by the grace of God. The difference is that word, I have enough, I have all things. I have all things. And that's what our brother read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, you can have abundance, and if you're happy with that, then I pity you. Or, in Christ, you have all. His grace is, or is it not, sufficient. Sufficient. It is. All God has for and provided for the sinner is found in Christ Jesus. Outside of Him, nothing. Absolutely nothing. You've heard maybe some of the older ladies say, you got your all your eggs in one basket. You got your all your eggs in one basket. That doesn't sound, that's usually a negative connotation. Militarily, it would be. Economically, they say diversify. It would be. Spiritually? God has all His eggs in one basket. And that's the one I want to be counting. If you have Christ, you have all. Now this can't be learned through confirmation classes. It can't be learned through self-will or self-worth or by any means of education. It must be learned by grace through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It's the unconditional, free, unmerited favor of God Almighty. In Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim learned this. He had that burden on his back, strapped to his back, and he went to the law, and it got worse. It got heavier. And then when he entered through that wicked gate, and as he looked up and beheld a blood-stained cross with Emmanuel, God with us, on it, then and only then, that burden fell off. He turned around and watched it roll away. Oh, to simply, eagerly, constantly, consistently sit at our merciful Savior's feet and hear Him. Day in, day out. One to another, encouraging one another. Well, Mary understood this. She had, verse 39, a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. What maketh thee to differ? Now, I'm not talking about her, between her and Martha, because Martha loved the Lord, and the Lord loved her. That's us. But like Jacob and Esau, who maketh thee to differ? Well, I'll give another illustration, and I'm sure you've heard this. I haven't heard this in a long time, but I love this illustration. There was an auction, and at that auction, we sold an old, ragged, worthless violin. And the auctioneer stood up and said, who will give me $1, two, three, maybe four? Nobody bid on it. So I'll give you $1. $1. One, going once, going twice. Stop! Was heard in the back room. And some old gentleman came up, took the fiddle, tuned the strings, and started playing it. The most lovely melody that was ever heard. And everybody sat in awe. And he walked back. And the auctioneer said, "Who will give me $1,000? $2,000? $3,000? $4,000? $4,000, said the gentleman. "Going once, going twice, sold. $4,000. And after the end of the auction, everybody was milling around. They said, what was the difference? What made the difference? The touch from the Master's hand. He'll take old, no good, ratty, self-willed, bigoted, self-righteous, ungodly, vile sinners, and call him unto himself, so he may get the glory." The Master. A touch from the Master's hand. And I close. I want to believe, and I'm just speculating, I want to believe after this was said and done, we don't know, it finishes in verse 42. But I would like to believe that after everything was said and done, that Martha took off her work apron and sat together with Mary at the Master's feet. Kind of like we're doing right now. Kind of like we're gathered together. You know, there's enough differences in us that we may not hang around with one another outside of the gospel. But what brings us together is Christ and Him crucified. And that's why I believe so firmly that Paul, when he said, "I declare not to know anything among you," save Christ and Him crucified, it wasn't just a statement, just to fill up words. Because the gospel will meet every need that we have. The comfort of Christ and Him crucified, the blessed substitutionary death of Christ for us, will take care of all our needs. All our needs. Psalm 122 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And let us magnify and praise and worship Him evermore." Marvin.